Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Why does Ince have a, like, what's the whole Chuck E. Cheese background?
I don't know. Is this a mystery texter that they always text in stuff about Ince going to Chuck E. Cheese or, like, wearing, like, Hello Kitty or something like that? I don't know. It's a text thing.
I'm not going to lie, and I mean no offense to Jason Ince, but if you told me like he was like a fan, like that was his guilty pleasure was to go to Chuck E. Cheese, I could see it. I'm sorry. I mean, zero offense to
him. Offense to Jason.
No offense, Jason, but I could see you really liking Chuck E. Cheese.
I stand by that still. No offense, Ince. But you kind of do. It's the Round Table. Round Daddy is not here. He's up in New York, just enjoying life, doing a little AAU baseball. That means Max Godbey's in. And with me is Jeff Leitze today. And yeah. Jeff, I was just telling you, this is the first time that you and I have been on air together.
Yeah, man.
Which is weird because it's like, I see you every single time I'm in here. And it's just like, yeah, have you all ever done a show yet? I was like, no. Actually, no, we haven't. So we were going to have Justin Jeffries in here today as well, mm-hmm. which was going to be, I was so excited for, because we've got a special presidential Governor's Cup debate coming in at the 5 o'clock hour, and Justin was going to present UK's arguments while mm-hmm. Jeff was going to produce UofL's arguments. And as you could tell, Justin's not here. The gentleman sends me a text and says, hey, I'm not going to be able to show up. And I'm like, well, why? Like, you've known about this for a week. Like, why? He goes, I'm stuck in the middle of a soybean field because my tractor broke down.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, dude, if you don't want to be on the show, you don't have to start making stuff up. He goes, no, man, I'm serious. It sits me a picture of his tractor broken down in the middle of the field. So thoughts and prayers to Justin.
Yeah.
He picked a great day, though, for his tractor to break down.
It feels good outside.
It does.
If it's not like scorching hot like it has been the last week.
I don't know how it feels in the middle of a soybean field.
That's very true. I don't know why,
but I've never dealt with soybeans before. Feel like it may get a little itchy out there. Hopefully wore long pants, maybe. We'll see. But
you do some farming yourself, right?
I do, yeah. But not to the scale that Justin Jeffries does. Okay. That dude's on another level.
Okay, I got you.
I handle more livestock. He handles, I mean, this dude is like the garden whisperer.
Okay.
Like when it comes to like composting and stuff like that, Justin is like a savant with it. And instead, do you know the difference between tilling and vertical tilling?
I do not.
Justin does. And just, I mean, what I do on Mondays with the Office of Line Clinic, which we will have today at 4:30, he's able to do when it comes to tilling, composting. I mean, the dealing with all the different like chemicals or the different elements that you can use. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay. He goes, do you know what nitrogen does to corn? It's like, didn't know those two things went with each other. But I mean, here we are. So, but that's kind of been the theme of today.
is, so Justin Jeffries backs out. He could say he's broken down or not, but the point is he's not here.
This is true.
And I also had, because typically when I'm hosting, I have Mike Summers come on because he always does a great deep dive. And so I extended the offer to him just to see, hey, do you want to come on the show? I'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. And he texts me back and says, no, I can't. I'm on a 3-day cowboy horseback riding expedition. And I was like, wait, an expedition?
Okay.
Like, and he sends me a picture of himself with 26 other current and former football coaches somewhere in the middle of central Kentucky riding horseback for 3 days.
Okay.
And they're camping each night.
All right.
Like, he's all, like, packed out. He looks like he's in, like, a post-apocalyptic video game is what he looks like. I was like, okay, if you don't want to be on the show, just tell me you don't want to be on the show. You don't have to go horseback riding for 3 days through central Kentucky. But we've got a great show today. We've also got at 4 o'clock Mike Cassidy, who is a legend of an assistant coach. He's coaching the NFL. It's been a defensive coordinator for 22 years for Louisville, Kentucky, Western, Oklahoma State. He had two stints at Louisville during both Bobby Petrino eras. But if you really enjoy how Mike Summers breaks down offense, he does an unreal job from the defensive side of the ball. He is a savant when it comes to defense. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to bring a little bit of the defensive perspective as well. We'll have him on at 4 o'clock. But there's one thing, Jeff, that we need to discuss first.
Yeah, let's go.
We're going to stick with this for our, since we're on the topic of football. I don't know about you.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not know there was the International Federation of American Football for the world.
I found this out this last week.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, okay, it's kind of like when someone else in the world makes another cheeseburger. It's like, okay, it's not going to be better than the United States. It's not going to be better than any average red-blooded American that makes a cheeseburger. But then the news broke.
Wow. I didn't know that. You're telling me now for the first time.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Didn't know it was a thing. Well,
I don't know whoever it is, but that guy should be fired immediately.
I mean, high treason, honestly.
It might be the biggest L America's ever taken.
So, last Tuesday, on Thursday, the United States lost to Japan.
Yes.
And not just like a last-second field goal, but handily.
And they got busted.
Yes.
They got busted.
And to me, that was, like, I didn't even know that was possible. Mm-hmm. Like, I did not know that even anyone had the concept of how to run an effective offense anywhere else in the world.
In Japan,
Exactly. So I was like, you know what? Everyone's got a bad day.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a bad day. Then, Austria?
Mm-hmm.
You lose to Austria. It has like 25 people. 25.
What's got Arnold Schwarzenegger? Get to the chopper.
Yeah, exactly. But do you think Arnold Schwarzenegger's playing on that team?
Not a chance.
No. The largest Austrian in the world in the history of Austrians left and came to America. There's no one left there.
No.
At that point, okay, it hasn't been on our radar. It needs to be now. It needs to be. This needs to be forefront attention for now on, to where it's like, okay, we need to start reallocating some things at this point, because you can't lose at your game. You can't lose. It's the International Federation of, is it football?
I don't
know. No.
Yeah.
American football.
Oh, American football.
Is
okay.
Literally in the name. Yeah. At this point, I'm not, Jeff, I'm not for government overreach.
So, who is on the team is what I need to know.
Like, so,
what are these people, what are their day jobs when they're playing on this team? Because we know it's not former high school, maybe high school, but not former collegiate athletes. It's not like the XFL or what's it called, the UFL or whatever right now. So,
exactly.
Who are these people as far as, like, who are you? Like, that's what I want to know.
So it's a lot of, supposedly, because I got a big education. Shout out to all the Twitter followers. because they came out and really kind of laid down some history of this team. But predominant amount of the team is D2, D3 talent. Basically, guys that this is not their gig through and through.
Yeah, of course.
Which I can understand. I can get that. I'm not saying that we need to get Patrick Mahomes playing in this league.
Of course not.
I get it. However, we've invested all this money with the XFL and now the UFL and getting that talent ready. Why aren't we not sending that talent overseas to defend our game? To me at that point. So, Talks, which I think this is the first time me and Talks have ever agreed on anything. He's just like I put out a very hyperbole tweet of like, you know, that everyone on this coaching staff needs to be arrested and, you know, arrested for high treason. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yes, 100%. And a lot of these players are from D2, D3, but like the Sean Leota is the general manager, Mike Kelly, the head coach. But like a lot of these guys, I do not know their names when it comes to the who the coaching staff is, who their front office personnel is, and then who these players are. But to me, it really drove as a, we really need to start looking into this and invest. It's almost like it needs to be presented as an option. Because again, now that it's on everyone's radar.
It is. Now it is. Because of the losses.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And again, you cannot lose in American football. You cannot. That's like getting anyone from Japan or anyone from Austria. I'm using those two countries because those are the two countries we just lost back-to-back games to. True. When has America lost back-to-back in anything, in any sort of conflict? Never. So if you were to challenge just the average person from Japan or the average person from Austria into an apple pie making contest, you could throw any average American into the mix of that and they're going to win. I don't care what the ingredients are that that Austria has. I don't care about the ingredients that Japan has. It's not ingrained in their DNA. We know how to do cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
We know how to do apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
We may not know how to do baseball as much anymore since everyone else has caught on. But that's the thing. These are the things that people aren't willing to talk about.
That's true.
And I'm willing to. I just don't want to see football be played into that as well.
The only thing that I will. There are so many American football leagues, meaning you have the NFL, you have college football, you have high school football. Then obviously you have the UFL now. If there's no money in this, you're not going to get high-level players. And when I say high-level, that means guys that they may never played in the NFL, but still high-level. Like, as you know, like there's guys that never made it to the NFL, but can really play some ball. You're going to get Johnny from accounting. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to play football against Japan, who's putting their best foot forward. Like, Austria's putting their best foot forward. Like, this is their best football player in their entire space, like in their country, versus the Americans are. This is maybe the 1,000,000th best American player in the country, right? So, like that's the only thing. I don't know if this ever catches on because even though I heard about it this week for the first time, it like went by the wayside. Like it's like we lost again. Like damn, oh, we can't keep losing. Oh, yeah. But like at the same time, it's kind of like okay. You know, training camp starts in 6 weeks.
Exactly.
You know
what
I
mean? Exactly.
Like, training camp starts in 6 weeks. Like, I got the schedule for Louisville football, whatever, you know. So it's kind of like, all right, well, whatever. What are we going to do against Clemson this year? Or are we going to Death Valley? Like, what is Kentucky going to do against whoever they play? Like, their SEC gauntlet this year. Like, we redirect our attention. We have short attention spans, and we redirect it really, really fast. And I think that's what happened.
Are we a cricket country now? Because we beat England or whatever in cricket, and we don't know a damn thing about that. It's like, they're beating us in football. Like, what's going on? We're in the upside
down. That is a great point.
On the day that Texas and Oklahoma officially joined the SEC, we are officially living in the upside down.
I mean, really, yes. Which, speaking of which, did you all see the SEC short that came out with Texas and Oklahoma? Oh, my gosh, that was so funny.
I didn't see it.
Oh, my gosh. Finally, if anyone knows, the SEC Shorts, which is this comedy group that puts out these weekly jokes about the SEC, or these little skits about the SEC, they did one of a formal introduction of Texas and Oklahoma.
Okay.
And, oh, my gosh, go look it up.
It is
absolutely hilarious. Texter, I'm pretty sure it's an under 20 team. So I don't know if he means under the age of 20. But yeah. even still, you're telling me if you're able to offer some dudes, especially in middle America, in the Midwest, some dudes. I think that's the issue, is we just need to send like some corn-fed offensive linemen there. I don't know anything about those offensive line, but it's like, let's go send some dudes from like Kansas, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Texas, and just let's go out there and just go and just dominate at that point. Just intimidation by size at that point.
I'm not mad at that. Yeah. It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea at all.
Just send them some 6'7", 350-pound grown men. They can't handle that.
No, not at all. It's let's show them what eating nothing but cheeseburgers and apple pie can do.
That's right.
Let's just show them that.
Well, we got to send them a speedster, too. Send them somebody who runs like a 4.240. They don't have that over there. Maybe in Jamaica they do.
Speaking of 4.240s, Bo Jackson getting finally inducted into the Royals Hall of Fame over the weekend as well, which was so cool to see. His press conference that he did with his grandson was hilarious and wholesome. Really needed after the past few days of news that we have gotten.
Yeah.
It was a good timeline cleanse. But, Jeff, I don't know if you watched the You Don't Know Bo ESPN 30 for 30.
Yes, I have. Everyone I've seen it multiple times. It's awesome.
It's
one of the best ones.
It really is. And because for me, who didn't grow up watching Bo Jackson and just seeing just how freak of an athlete he was. But the biggest thing of it was just no accolades whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, like no Hall of Fame, no nothing. Like he won the Heisman. And then after that, like professional accolades. Yeah,
exactly.
Because everything was so short because of the injuries. No, it was really cool to see that, because even though that happened in like the 80s, early 90s or whatever, like there's still no one that matches that. Like there's still no one that was drafted number one overall in the NFL draft, won a Heisman, and can go play several seasons professional Major League Baseball. Like so much so they're in the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame. Like that is... That's still unprecedented, even 40 years later. So to see that, it was pretty, pretty cool to really see him get his just due. And someone who always, in a world of attention seekers, everybody wants the cameras, everybody wants the microphones in their face. Like, everybody wants to, like, he was the complete opposite. Like, to this day, unless he's getting recognized for something,
right,
you don't hear about Bo Jackson.
Yeah, wasn't it weird when he did the, what was it? It was Nationwide or Capital One for football season, where he would go, "Why will we week?"
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, what... What was that for, Capital One, or was that for Nation?
I think it was Nissan. I think it was the Heisman House.
Yeah, I think it was the Heisman
House. Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But that was like the first time I've ever seen him like do anything, like anything.
Exactly.
But you're absolutely right. And it's great in that documentary about how they say he's like, he just passed into urban legend, where it was like no one heard from him anymore. He just sat downstairs and made arrows and shot his bow. Which is
hunting
wild.
And stuff. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, but you're like, he's not a guy that just turns into this guy that lives as like a has-been or something, or living this life of, oh, you remember me, Bo, or going like doing like the Johnny Cash show when he's on the verge of being washed up. It was just like the dude just let his brand rest for years and allowed our generation to see the 30 for 30. And they're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
This dude's wild.
To get into a Hall of Fame for something that isn't even your best sport is nuts. And it was the best thing that ever happened to his career, is the fact that it's the ultimate what if. Like everybody else, we kind of know what they became, but Bo Jackson, the what if game is always there, so people continue to talk about him for the rest of time.
I mean, seriously though, like if he does not dislocate and break his hip, like
he'd be one of the greatest athletes ever.
And here's the thing though, it's like he did come back. Like that's the thing.
Played.
The dude played with a hip replacement.
Yeah, this is wild. Yeah. I mean, it's wild to think about.
And it's not a 2024 hip replacement.
No,
this is late 80s hip replacement.
No, that's insane. And that's why it's like, you can only have love and adoration because, once again, he's not an attention seeker. His brand has grown because the 30 for 30 kind of thing shot him back into mainstream media. And he's done more, but he still isn't front and center on everything. Like, he still, like, plays the background. Like, if you see him at a game, he's in the stands just at an Auburn game or whatever. Like, he's not someone, once again, seeking the attention, seeking the cameras. And that, for me, I can respect that. That is something that I have, because you are Bo Jackson, all right? Like, you could be on every sports talk show or do whatever you want when you're a Heisman Trophy winner and a Hall of Fame for Major League Baseball. But it's just like, you know, I'll just chill out. I'll do a couple of commercials here and there and then go back to hunting and bow and arrow and doing the regular everyday stuff and hanging out with my grandson. And that's awesome to really see that.
Exactly.
You know what's crazy to think about? When he was at Auburn, they had him, Charles Barkley, and Frank Thomas all on Auburn's campus at the same time.
That's
Imagine
wild.
Going to a bar and seeing those dudes hang out. Like, all three of them could kick your butt. Don't mess with those guys.
I don't know. A pair of beer goggles can definitely make some people size them up, apparently.
So. Well, did you hear Charles Barkley threw somebody through a window once?
And he did.
So he goes to court, and they're going to give him his, like, fine or whatever the case was. And they asked, do you have any regrets? He said, yeah, I regret we weren't on a higher floor.
Okay. Texter, Bo Jackson is the Paul Bunyan of sports. I mean, 100%.
That's a good
one. But like all the urban legends that surround him as well, of like he was able to hit a baseball into the lights, or he was able to jump
out of the pool.
Jump out of the pool.
God.
Dude,
that's the craziest thing I've ever. Like, out of all the stuff, that was the one where I was like, all right, come on, man. Yeah, y'all got it.
That's not true.
Like, there's no way that's true. Like, I've been inside of a pool waist deep and trying to jump out of the pool onto the surface. Come on.
Right. Dude, the amount of power that would take.
Yes.
Unreal. Texter. Oh, that's not an excuse. Georgia's U-20 team wouldn't allow a point, which I...
This is true.
I mean, yeah.
This is very true.
I'm not making excuses for this at all. Even under 20, to be able... The amount of things that we are able to do for, like, hey, do you want to go study abroad? Do you like football? Don't you want to play in a football league and be a world champion?
What
the recruiting on that would be easy.
What I will say is, though, those losses were probably the biggest recruiting thing ever for this. Because think about it. Before this, I mean, maybe this thing just started, but if it's been going on for years, those losses just made it a thing now. Now it's kind of like, oh, no, that can't happen again. I'll sign up. If I'm 18 years old, 19 years old, like, oh, no, I'll sign up to be on that team to make sure, because those guys suck, obviously. We're not going to lose anymore. I'm going to go be a part of the team and make sure this doesn't happen again. So this was their biggest recruiting thing, just losing. And that's pretty funny.
What's that sci-fi movie? What was it? Space Troopers or Star Troopers? The ones where they're fighting the bug aliens, and they've got that propaganda thing. It goes, I'm doing my part. I'm doing my part.
I can't think of the movie. Oh, man.
Oh,
what is
gosh.
That movie?
But I know what Star Troopers. Someone texted in. Let's see, Texter. When Bo turned upfield and Mack trucked Bosworth, me and my friend sat silent in disbelief. It was cool to see from the You Don't Know Bo ESPN 30 for 30, and then the Bosworth 30 for 30 both of those plays to see the different perspectives on that. And still, that is beyond wild. Because still... I'm trying to think, because he was still playing. He was still playing as a Raider, but it wasn't like that was like his exclamation point or his jumping point to stardom, right?
Yes.
If I'm remembering the doc, it's been a few years since I saw it, but it's a crazy. That hit was nuts.
Yeah, because Bosworth was the opposite of Bo Jackson. He loved the cameras. He loved the spotlight.
Yes.
He made himself a thing by being in the media.
The boss.
Yeah, the boss. He literally turned into a caricature of himself. And so when Bo Jackson, who, you know, had his issues with the NFL, had his issue because they said they weren't going to draft him, and he lost his collegiate eligibility, and he still wanted to play college football and college baseball, and went into the MLB and then played in the NFL as a hobby. Like, think about that. Like, he played the NFL as a hobby. I'm a professional baseball player. I'm going to play in the NFL as a hobby and just be, like, if not the, one of the best running backs in the entire league. And to, like, just run over the guy who was the boss, it was kind of like, okay, yeah, we may have forgot who Bo Jackson was. We ain't forgot no more. He reminded us who the hell he was, and that's awesome.
Exactly. Starship Troopers. So close, Max. Yes, Starship Troopers. So close. Now the techs are pouring in. Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers. Will Perdue said on air, Bo would hit home runs over Memorial Coliseum.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Starship Troopers. Thank you, everyone. You don't have to text in Starship Troopers. I got it. I got it now. I was so close. So close. But... so yeah, we've solved the IFAF situation, and we've got Bo Jackson, which is crazy. We'll, you know what? Let's go ahead. Is it too early to take a break here, Zach? Let's go ahead and take a break because I want some time because we're going to talk a little bit about since now that we're getting into summer and the weather today just made me think about summer workouts and. It correlates with a dream that I had the other night. I've had the same reoccurring nightmare now for probably 10 years. Mm. And we're going to dissect that and have a little bit of a psychology class over that involving summer workouts. But you're listening to The Roundtable with Round Daddy on ESPN 680.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Louisville's going to lose this game and not just lose. They're going to get their teeth kicked in.
Oh.
Notre Dame is going to win 35-14.
Oh, wow.
Kentucky's going to win this game.
Oh, man.
Kentucky's going to go down there and beat Georgia.
Oh, man. How about you hear that, James?
Just so we're clear, you say Louisville's getting blown out and Kentucky's winning.
Yes.
You're going to get killed Monday on this text line.
I don't care.
You're listening to The Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Well, let this be a lesson to all the youngsters listening to this. If you go with your head instead of your heart and don't let the texters get under your skin to where you make an illogical decision like I did that night.
Oh, I thought you were going to say stop. Get some help. No. Michael Jordan.
No, I will eat that humble pie. I will do it. It's the round table. Welcome back. Max Godby, Jeff Leitze in, and we'll go ahead and get the immature text out of the way. Come on, guys, grow up. Starship poopers. Starfish poopers. Ew. Starship poopers. Just three in a row.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just go ahead and get those out of the way. There we go. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Great sports radio there. So, all right, so now you're into summer. Summer workouts officially begin like probably this week as soon as the freshmen, incoming freshmen come in on campus, they get like a day or two and then they'll get integrated into the summer workouts as well. Well, sorry, it's been a past month now.
Is it before or after 4th of July?
It's before. So I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. I'm still in June mindset. Yeah, so it's usually the first week of June.
Yep.
All the returning players are already on campus. Mm-hmm. Some stay for the month of May. Some don't. It depends if you want that check or not. Mm-hmm. I did it once, and don't get me wrong. The check's good. Check's good if you stay. But you're taking class very in 1 month. So imagine 4 months crammed down to 1 month.
Checks are a lot larger nowadays, though.
back in my
checks are a lot. So they can afford not to be there in the month of May with the kind of checks they're cashing.
Exactly.
I don't think Deion Walker missing it. I don't think he's missing it. I think he'd be all right, you know, without whatever that check May Max Gabby was getting. I think I can miss that one. Just make sure those other ones clear.
That Max Gabby $2,200 check. In 1 month, I've never seen that much money in my entire life in a month. Wait, you want me to take 9 hours during the month of May? Yes, sir. I will do whatever you tell me to do at that point. But during summer workouts, and I don't know why, the weather today, it just felt great and just remind me of this one time where we had to do Indian runs the whole time, or chase the rabbit, however you want to call it. And it reminded me of one of those days probably 12 years ago where we did this. Typically, it's for like a half hour that we did that exercise. For some reason, we did for like an hour. But it was like the first time running where I was just like, I don't care. Like, it feels so good outside. I usually ran either shortless or sometimes just in my compression shorts, just depending on how hot it was. But it's one of those days where, like, once the wind hit the sweat, like, you felt good at that point. And it was like, gosh, it just felt like a beautiful day. And that all of those memories just came flooding back this morning while I was outside. But all that to tie in, I've had this reoccurring nightmare for a decade.
Oh, man.
For a decade.
It's a long time to have a nightmare.
But it comes sporadically. Okay. It comes sporadically. So there was a time that I was dreaming it probably once a week.
Okay.
And then it went to like once every 3 months. And then I haven't had it for like a year, but it was a very vivid nightmare Saturday night. And the dream goes like this, the exact same way every single time. There is some sort of strike or some sort of crisis to where current college football players aren't able to play. Something like a mass ineligibility or something like that. The dream changes each time. So the NCAA gives universities permission to go back and put in draft numbers and draft former players to come back. But they have to do it based off of random. And every single time I get picked and I dream of going back to my old locker, having to put on 2XL and 3XL clothes that are way too big, and I got to go in there. And here's the kicker. You have to hit the weights that you were hitting when were there.
Okay.
And Corey Edman, all these former strength coaches I had are all screaming at me, asking why I'm in such bad shape, why I'm not as strong as I used to be, and why I haven't gained 50 pounds yet. And I mean, it's one of those where you just feel exposed. Have you ever had a dream like that where you just feel exposed and you're sitting in the meeting room and you've got to go back, sit at your old spot, and there's Stoops, but it's like 2013 Stoops. It's not like 2024 Stoops.
What's the difference then? For us that don't know, what's the difference there?
Well, more hair, for one.
Okay. That's the first vivid difference.
a little bit lighter. A little bit more high energy. And he walks in, looks at me, and goes, Max, why'd you get so old? This is what happens when you don't do your job. And it's like just berating me because I have gray hair now. And it's just like, dude, it is weird. But I wake up every single time in a panic over it. Where I'm just like, why am I, first of all, why is this bothering me? One. Two, because I'm not one that's reminiscent on the past. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed my time at UK. Obviously. And I enjoyed it. But it's not, dude, my life's great now. Yeah. Like, I don't need to go back to my college days. I'm good. But I don't know what, and maybe that's it. Maybe it's just a fear of going back to college. I don't know. So to you, Jeff, and to Zach, you all are more than welcome to dissect that because I have no idea how to even interpret that dream.
So do you watch the show All American? Have you ever seen the show? Okay,
no.
So All American's a terrible show, by the way. Sorry, CW, whatever. It's awful.
Oh, is that the show on Netflix?
No, it's on the CW. Well, it is on Netflix. Yeah, like they have the older seasons on Netflix. But it's still actually airing on the CW. It's awful. It's an awful show.
Well, I mean, most CW shows are.
Yeah, it's so awful. Got renewed for season 7. I don't know how they're going to do it because the main character already said he's not coming back. So I honestly have no clue how that's going to work. But regardless, in this last season, I say it's an awful show, yet I still watch it because, you know, you just see something, you're like, I got to see this through. Like, I just got to watch
You've
the end
invested
of it.
This much. Yeah, it's that's like how Walking Dead was for me for the longest time.
For real. Yeah. So All American's an awful show. I got to see it through. But in the show, there's a kid named Asher Adams who has this heart issue. And he keeps having this dream about, like, he played football. He's a coach now on the collegiate level. And he has this dream about suiting up in his football pads again, but then leaving his cleats. Like, he just always left his cleats. Like, he just can't. And then some reason he doesn't understand why. And they kind of came back to him. It's like, it's because you still missed the game. Like, oh, man. And he ends up playing in the national championship game in college football. Remember, he hasn't played.
Yeah.
Because he's had this heart issue. His heart got better. Played in the national championship game. And he scores a touchdown the first time he touches the ball. Because they just left him on the roster for sentimental reasons, even though he's a coach. And he was able to seal up. Regardless, it's crazy. So that's almost like, I'm saying all of that to say, it kind of reminds me of this dream, even though, like you said, your life is great. Like, it's not wanting to play, but I think it is, this is just what I think. I think it's just a thing of not, like, it's something that you can't control, and you want to be able to control that, whatever that is, since you can't control this dream, whatever it is. I don't know what it is deep in the back of Max Godby, like, psyche. There's something there to still continue to prove, like, Stoops right. Like, hey, like, he took a chance on you to be on the team, so, like, don't want to let him down, don't want to let your strength coaches down, even though you didn't. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't then, and you're not now. So, like, I think it's something along those lines. It kind of reminded me of that dream from All-American.
Then why not logically can I just explain to myself or explain to my imaginary coaches in my head, hey, I'm 33. Obviously, I'm not in shape anymore. You're the ones that called my draft number. Not me.
Call somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah, call Buds. You're like, see, Bud exactly. will come back and play.
Bud will come back. Yeah. Bud will be He'll fine be okay. to play. And Za'Darius would be thrilled to come back. Bring Big Z back. Randall. Bring Randall back. Danny Trevathan. The list goes on and on.
A lot of NFL guys came through there.
Exactly. It's like, how about one of them? Why Max? Why'd you pick the former walk-on to come back? Again, it's a dream that is just, it's silly. I mean, that's the only way. I tried to explain this dream to my wife, and she just will not have it.
Yeah, like, well, okay. What do you mean? Like,
I will try to explain it to her, and usually she always wants to break down dreams and analyze dreams. And I never do because I think they're dumb. But this is one that's like, this is a recurring thing. This is definitely stating some sort of mental thing in my head of like, there's something psychological there. And so I have a genuine, I was like, what do you think this means? And she goes, I don't know. It sounds real stupid to me. It's like, oh, okay.
That's what you mean by you don't have it. You're like, yeah, I'm not getting into that. Yeah. Like, that's a battle within yourself.
That
like,
must be the CTE talking to your subconscious, I guess. Anyway, so we have, again, summer workouts going on right now. I love this time of year because, one, it's a great regimen for getting these true freshmen ready for the season. And I've actually got a great gift for everyone listening today, tomorrow. So, obviously, Justin Jeffries doesn't care to come in. He breaks down his tractor in the middle of a soybean field. Mike Summers obviously doesn't want to come in because he's 3 days horseback in the middle of Central Kentucky camping. So I started calling people, and I was like, all right, who can I get on the show? And I didn't realize how many people I still knew that were still in the game, like that were still around. So we've got... We'll have it 4 o'clock. Mike Cassidy, former defensive coordinator, former DBs coach. It's same thing with Mike Summers. 2 stints at Louisville, 1 stint at Kentucky. And tomorrow, We'll actually have at 3:30. We've got EKU head coach Walt Wells.
Okay.
That's actually going to be on. The dude's amazing. Walt Wells is someone that, kind of like you and me, Jeff, just always in passing, just never really connected. And from recruiting to playing to working together, it just always, one person was going in the door and the other one was going out the door at the same time. And then we'll talk more strength and conditioning with Brady Collins tomorrow, who is the head strength coach at Wisconsin now. Cut his teeth and really made a name for himself as the head strength coach at Cincy when they made their college football playoff run.
Yeah.
But he was a graduate assistant while I was at UK.
Okay.
So he handled all the little walk-ons when he was there. So we've got some really cool stuff. And then Carter Barfield, who's special teams coordinator at Florida State, he's going to be on Wednesday with Anna and myself. But I already showed this to you, and so I'm scrolling through Twitter today, and the number one trending thing at the time at about 9 o'clock this morning was it was Texas Tech.
Yes.
Hashtag Texas Tech. And I went, all right, I want to see what's going on here. And in big, flashy letters, every graphic that every sports marketing intern would use of Texas Tech is now an Adidas school.
Mm-hmm.
And just all this pizzazz, all the coaches going, boom. I mean, treating it like they just landed a 5-star. Boom, let's go. This is great. Love it. You just showed me the video of them unveiling Texas Tech's field with the Adidas sign and the Patrick Mahomes brand sign. And I was like, man, I mean, sure.
Yeah.
I guess. I've never been an Adidas fan. And that's just not because I've come from a Nike school. Mm-hmm. Like, Adidas never grabbed my attention.
Adidas, yeah. I mean, it's understandable.
Even Louisville is very close with Adidas.
Yeah.
But
Adidas pays a lot of money.
Exactly. But that was because what was Louisville before Adidas?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't remember. As far as I can remember, it's been Adidas, and they've been one of, if not the highest paid Adidas like partners. And it's funny because Adidas is losing schools. Like, they're not necessarily gaining schools. They're cutting their teeth a lot in the international soccer world. So the Messis, the Ronaldos, all those guys over there. And then they had their Kanye thing that was big, but then that blew up. So they're not necessarily adding collegiate schools. Most of the schools are leaving them, whether it's UCLA or Michigan or whoever. The one last school that they're really holding on to is Louisville. So Louisville gets all the resources, all the stuff. So to see Texas Tech, now the Texas Tech angle actually makes a lot of sense because Patrick Mahomes is the greatest athlete to come out of their school ever, all right? And he may go down as one of, if not the, I mean, he's already one of the best football players ever, and he may go down as the best football. He's 28 with 3 Super Bowls.
Yes.
And 3 Super Bowl MVPs and 2 regular season MVPs. Like, he's killing it right now. He's like the hottest thing in the world. They have a legit chance to three-peat this year. So it's kind of like the Michael Jordan UNC thing. So when Michael Jordan becomes Michael Jordan, UNC becomes a Jordan brand school. I think that's what they're trying to do. I don't know. Obviously won't be as nearly as successful as Jordan, but they're trying to do that with the Texas Tech. So Texas Tech is like, hey, we're going to capitalize the fact that we could possibly have the greatest quarterback ever as an alumni. So yeah, we're going to name the field after. I think they retired his jersey last year. We're going to put his logo on the field. And we're going to take Adidas' money. If they want to pay us some money to be an Adidas school, we're going to take their money, especially since every collegiate school has to come up with this new $20 million with this NIL stuff.
Like,
everybody's
going
to come up with this new $20 million. So if Adidas is willing to give us, let's call it $5 million a year on top of that, so now instead of coming up with $20 million, we got to come up with $15. You know what I mean? Like, because we're going to take that $5 million
from
Adidas.
That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah. Everyone's got to get that money now.
Yeah, you got a $20 million bill that just hit your table, whether you want it to or not. And the thing is, you don't have to come up with the whole $20 million, but if you don't, somebody else will.
Exactly.
So you don't want to be you don't want to be playing from behind. You want to be at, on top of your game, especially at the high level, you know, Power 5, Division 1 type schools. You got to come up with that $20 million, along with your collective, along with whatever other bills you have. But that $20 million is coming down the pipeline no matter what.
How much of that $20 million do you think is honestly going to come in to the $20 million and then the collective? Because... Hmm. To me, the way that I understand the lawsuit and how the law is going to be moving forward is that you have the $20 or $22 million. I can't remember.
Yeah, the thing is, they said it would be between 20 and 22.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Between that, you can, as a student athlete, you could choose that or to manage your own brand. To which you still have the collective. I feel it's
an either or situation.
It's an either or. You can't.
I didn't know that.
You can't take one or the. You can't take one or you can only take one or the other. So put it in perspective. Let's say your son one day is recruiting age. Obviously, Stoops sees him as a high priority talent. So he comes Brom. To your son
Brom.
Or Brom. Let's say either school's fine for. All right, here. I'm gonna ask you this question. If your child is getting recruited by both U of L and UK,
mm-hmm.
and he comes to you and says, "Dad, you know, I really like UK."
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna say?
Hey, man, you know, like what's the check looking like?
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
What's the check looking like?
Yes.
I ain't turning down nobody money.
Exactly.
Yeah, free education and money. I ain't saying nothing, man. We gonna be rocking Kentucky blue, like drinks it.
What are you gonna do if your kid wants to go to Louisville?
Oh, I've said on air, if he wants to go to Louisville, go to Louisville. Like, it's, he could definitely do that.
You guys are much better people than I am.
Yeah, gotta.
Well, actually, no. Jeffries answered quicker than I did when Strebel posed that question to us. He answered like immediately because he actually has a relationship with the Brom family because Brom's daughter and his daughter are the same age. They play in the same like leagues with each other. So he's like, oh yeah, if his son wants to play for Brom, then yeah, he definitely can.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I guess I got to say that too.
Yeah, because my thing is, it'd be like, I'm in a fraternity. It'd be different if it's like a fraternity thing. Like if he's like, if your son wanted to play HQ or over Alpha, it's like, all right, yeah, this is what we're not going to do. Like, that's what I'm going to put my foot down. Colleges, I'd be all right. You know, this is a billion different colleges. But frats, like, come on now.
But which frat's going to offer you like, $2 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Do that. But anyway, all that being said, so whatever school's coming to you, they go, hey, we really like what you're doing. We want to offer you a scholarship and then offer you $75,000 to come play at U of L. But if you sign this, you waive your media rights. So you cannot go and get other media rights. We handle all the media rights for you and we pay you for them. Mm. Or you can go handle your own media rights, but you're not going to be paid by the university.
See, I didn't know that.
So it's an all or nothing. So like a Reed Shepherd that was making probably close to $3-4 million while he was at Kentucky, it makes no sense for him to sign up for that.
No,
probably a Brock Vandergriff probably will not sign with Kentucky mm-hmm. on that. All your linemen, probably.
Yeah.
Your linemen are probably going to do that. Mm-hmm. I think the vast majority of people are going to do that. Mm-hmm. I just feel like the collectives, it's almost going to turn into a wash a little bit. That you're still going to have the money for your collectives for who? Your top football players, your top basketball players,
mm-hmm.
which is still going to probably flirt around the same amount as you would giving out cash for everyone else on the football team, basketball team, and then all your non-revenue sports if they elect to do that.
Yeah. So this is the first time, because I haven't read up on it a ton, so this is the first time I heard that it was an either-or type of thing, because I honestly thought they could just double dip. Like, I thought they could do the university. I'm going to take the university money, and I'm going to take the collective's money, and I'm going to take everybody else's money who wants to offer it to me. So hearing that, I don't necessarily – know if I say it makes me feel better, but it is like good that it'll be some more structure because there needs to be more structure.
Exactly.
NIL. Like NIL needs to have, I'm not saying it needs to go away. No, it's good. It needs to stay, but it does need more structure because just pay for play straight up. And then you see these lawsuits. I mean, there is a Georgia quarterback currently suing the University of Florida. Yep. He's suing Florida. Like that is insane. So like that can't happen. Stuff like that camping. And I knew once the universities get involved, they're going to nip that kind of stuff in the bud. Like, we don't need to be in court where our head football coach, our NIL collective, and our university all named in lawsuits by a kid that goes to Georgia. Like, that just can't happen. So to hear that, it gives it some more structure. It has a better outline, and it's one step closer to NIL ultimately being structured the way it should be and probably what it was initially supposed to be. But because the NCAA was so, dragging their feet about it for so long, it just became the wild, wild west. So, like, I like to hear that.
Yeah.
I do. It sounds good.
And the only reason I know so much about it is because it's still up in the air because it used to say only student-athletes through 2016 are going to be a part of this lawsuit, but there's also debate that it's going to be student athletes through 2006, which falls under me. And I'm like, I need to see if I get my money. Like, I'm good. I'm good. All of a sudden, I got a law degree at this point. I'm digging through this. But a lot of the perspective is that this is on good faith for the NCAA saying, hey, everyone that should have been paid, we paid them.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, as scary as it sounds, they're going to be asking Congress to be able to help them outline kind of a state of rules to be able to help with it. It's kind of similar to how the NCAA's got the NFL's got salary caps and all that, of being able to kind of figure that out. That way they've got a clear, concise motion moving forward.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to take when you're talking about large. I mean, we're talking about $20 million per school. And there's, 150 Division I schools, 150 Power 5 schools or whatever. Because every school outside of the Power 5 is going to come up with $20 million. But the Power 5s will. Therefore, that's a lot of money. $20 million times 150 is a whole lot of money. And we're talking about a multi-million, if not billion-dollar industry. So it needs rules and regulations. Like, you can't just have all of this money just floating out, not... Like I said, even the NFL, the NBA have collective bargaining agreements. They have rules, regulation, structures. They have a calendar. That's something the NCAA doesn't have. They have a structured calendar. Free agency starts, the draft period, have scheduled downtime. Like, all of these things have essentially been eliminated from collegiate athletics because of transfer portal, NIL, all this stuff, that this is going to put things back into perspective. And I think it's only going to help the game because people will eventually get over their whole collegiate athletes don't need to pay. I feel like that is kind of going by the wayside.
Yeah.
But I do think the lack of stability and structure in collegiate athletics is hurting the sport, particularly in basketball. It's really in basketball because I can know my team today, and then a year from now, it can be a completely different team.
Exactly.
And that's just tough. That's just tough on any fan to keep up with ever-changing names, ever-changing people, and sometimes changing by the semester. Like, not even by the year, by the semester. And it's like, nah, man. Like, nah, I don't need to know. Because a lot of them, especially the high-level athletes, are only there for 1 year anyway.
Right.
And you're telling me roster turnovers, 7-8 guys every year. Like, no, that's not going
to
hurt.
Welcome to being a Kentucky basketball fan.
For the past 15 years.
Exactly.
I don't think it's going to be like that anymore. Move forward.
Yeah, no. Because Mark Pope's bringing in guys that want to be here. Because Pope is the hero and savior Kentucky basketball needs. Maybe. We'll see.
We're going to see.
A lot of coaches' sons going to Kentucky. Gym rats. It's like when Dalton Kinect got picked by the Lakers. The first thing they said about him, gym rat.
Yeah.
Of course.
X's and O's type of guys are going to be there. They don't understand the fundamentals of basketball.
They play for the name on the front of the jersey, not the back.
Texter, UofL was Converse, which is wild.
Mm, okay.
That's wild.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, come on, Brom. You're missing on a key thing you could be doing right here.
What are you talking about?
Dude, if you came out with cleats that were Converse cleats, like, oh gosh, who did
Adidas
that?
Not going for that.
Adidas pay $15 million a year. They're not going
They could go with a retro look shoe.
It would have to have an Adidas logo on there somewhere.
That's fine.
They would have to.
Doesn't the bird have shoes?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they Converse?
I don't
They know. Look like Converse.
It may be.
I think I so.
Know. Let me look at it. Now you got me curious.
Adidas, little hint, nudge, nudge. I think Louisville's not keeping up their end of the deal a little bit on the logo.
No, they're Adidas.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. At least
does
the
it have
the
an
court.
Adidas?
The three stripes on the court.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, Adidas, come on, man.
They
you
thought of
$15
that.
Million. It's like, man, you don't think we that slow, do you?
That's maybe Kentucky's issue. They spent $6.5 million for that crooked K in that blue Wildcat. Oh, shoot. Well, anyway, so when we come back, we're going to have Coach Mike Cassidy on, which is going to be a great interview. And we've got the great Governor's Cup debate that's going to be coming up at either 5 or 5:30. But you're listening to the ESPN 680 Roundtable with Roundaddy.